You're listening to the Night Demon Network. Go to nightdemon.net/subscriber to unlock more exclusive content.
Hello, and welcome to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. I'm your host, Nesbitt, and this week, we jump back in with Night Demon on the road on their first major tour as they roll through America supporting Raven on the 2014 Extermination Tour.
After our eventful time in the Pacific Northwest, we start to head deep into the United States, back into the belly of the beast. The next show we did was in Boise, Idaho, at a club called The Shredder. The Shredder is kind of like the metal club to play in Boise. I don't want to say they're the only game in town, but pretty much for the stuff that we do, that's where everybody plays. The owner, Justin Cantrell, is a cool dude. Been a friend of ours for a really long time. I don't recall too much about that show. I want to say it was a low attendance because that's usually what it is there. I do remember some German guy coming that lived in Boise and said, "Hey, I'm in a heavy metal club and I'm going to put on your next show." That never happened. But anyway, after that, we went to Salt Lake, played at the Lo-Fi Cafe. I remember that being a really cool show. And the Visigoth guys were there opening the show, as well as Deathblow, another band from Salt Lake that Jameson was in that band, Jameson from Visigoth. I don't remember anything too eventful about that either. Again, this is 10 years ago, and this is why we have Andrew's vlog. The next show, Denver, Colorado. I do remember that show. That was at a place called Three Kings, which that venue is now known as HQ. We have played there recently. I lost my voice, and I've never canceled a show because my voice was gone, but it was gone. And I remember John Gallagher from Raven coming out during the set and helping me sing a couple songs, at least the parts that he knew. And it was one of those things where it's like, man, he heard me from the backstage and probably heard how bad I was struggling and then just came on stage to help out. So that was really cool. But I remember that show too being pretty uneventful as far as kind of a lower attendance. But I do remember we did sell a good amount of merch that night. I think that's people feeling sorry for me, but maybe also respecting the fact that we still went on stage and gave it our all. So after that, we headed all the way over to St. Louis, Missouri, a place called Foo Bar. I remember doing an interview with a guy who used to be a bouncer there who actually got shot in a drive-by. And it was just that area of St. Louis was really, really bad. It's gotten a little bit better over the years due to gentrification, but the rule at Foo Bar was always, do not leave anything unattended in your cars. I mean, people will go to shows and get their cars broken into, just people going to shows. I mean, the bands would get ripped off constantly. But that's the place that you had to play there. It's just like the Shredder in Boise. That was the metal place you had to play in St. Louis. And we're glad that that venue was around. I do remember there was a guy who has actually kind of become a friend of the band, this guy Mike Ducey, who was talking shit about our version of Lightning to the Nation, something like that, like on some Facebook group or something. And I was like, I don't know, in those early days especially, like that kind of shit would get to me. And but I did find out, and I guess he was coming to this show. So I remember calling him out on stage and saying, like, Mike Ducey. And he's like, what? Like, that's me. Like, how do these guys know who I am? I'm like, this one's for you. We played Lightning to the Nations. But after the show, it was cool. We ended up becoming friends with him and seeing him many more times over the years. So if you're listening, Mike, thanks for that memory. I do remember also at that show, I don't know, Mark Gallagher from Raven, I don't know, he was, I don't know if he was pissed off at us or maybe just, you know, we were all getting road burned. They kept having vehicle trouble. Their RV kept breaking down. Their rental vans kept breaking down, all this stuff. But I do remember, like, I think he went off stage before, like, an encore that Raven did, and he, like, took some stuff off our merch table and, like, threw it at the wall or something. But he liked to fuck with us a lot, so that just could have been, that could have been that. I'm not sure. So from St. Louis, we headed to Columbus, Ohio, the Shrunken Head. And this is a show that I remember. This was a pivotal show in our career. Again, a low turnout, but a lot of the people from the Columbus area that have become some of our greatest friends and hardcore Night Demon followers were at this show.
Hello, my name's John Schuler, and I live in Grove City, Ohio, which is a suburb of Columbus, Ohio. And the first time I ever heard about Night Demon was I was going to check out Raven at a club called the Shrunken Head. And I wanted to go check out Raven because, you know, back in the day, I was never able to see them live. And I always wanted to because I enjoyed their metal. In the ad that I remember in the paper, the local paper, it said there was a band from Ventura, California called Night Demon opening. So I said, okay, that sounds kind of ominous. So I went to YouTube and I wanted to check them out. Well, back in 2014, which seems like eons ago, there was not much out there. I think there might have been a song or two from the EP I listened to and said, okay, that's really kind of cool. So the show came around. It was on a Sunday night, if I remember correctly. It was in November. It was in November 9th, 2014. And the Shrunken Head was a bar. It was west of campus, and it was on the second floor. So I remember going down there and milling around. I think I had my Raven Stay Hard record, and I had all the guys signed it. And I remember walking up the steps to the bar area, and it was just really kind of disorganized. There were a bunch of road cases when you came in, and there was the merch area, and then you went to the left and there was this open room. It was not a very big open room at all. It was pretty small. Bar was against one side of the room, and I said, okay, this is going to be interesting, because I think when I got there, and I was there somewhat early, there was probably about 10 people there, and I remember grabbing a couple beers and drinking them, and a local band came out. I think they were from Indianapolis, actually. And they came out, and they were decent. And then Night Demon came out, and it was just absolutely the most incredible thing I think I've seen in so long. I kind of hearken back to the day when I saw Iron Maiden for the first time on the Killers Tour. It was just everything about the performance, the music, everything they put into it, it was just astounding. And it was pretty incredible, too, because I think there might have been 40 or 50 people total in that bar that night. And when Night Demon played, there was probably 30 people. And they played like they were in front of 30,000 people. And it was just the most incredible thing I remember seeing.
I'm Steve Yoder from Hilliard, Ohio. Well, when I first heard of Night Demon, it was 2014. We Googled up when Raven was going to be back on tour, and then we seen Night Demon was on tour with them, so we figured we better go check them out, and I'm glad we did, because they blew our minds when they played their short set at the Shrunken Head in Columbus.
Hi, I'm Jim Nostradamus Bartek. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. Seen the band live 13 times. They renewed my faith in music. I got to be honest, I grew up in the 70s, so I was big into Deep Purple, Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath, Alice Cooper, the bands of that type. And through the 80s, it was Priest and Maiden and Saxon. And then there was a lull. Nobody really wasn't getting into anybody. And then Night Demon came around, and, man, I was totally blown away. So, and they're the best new band out there, in my opinion.
I'm Bob Rowe. I'm from Hilliard, Ohio, which is a northwest suburb of Columbus, Ohio. I've been a metalhead for 42, almost 43 years now. I live it, I breathe it, I eat it. The first impression of Night Demon from that night was, yeah, we would really love to see these guys again, you know, play a longer show. They were right up, you know, our alley of the kind of music we listen to, the kind of heavy metal that we like, that old school, you know, sound. It was great. We hadn't heard nothing like it, like nothing new, and for a very long time. Night Demon introduced us to people from Cleveland in the Northeast Ohio area, and we have formed a huge metal family between all of us down here and all of them up there. A great thing to be a part of. And it was all brought together because of all the love of metal and the Night Demon guys.
It's just to watch these relationships form and to grow over something that started with this band. It's pretty spectacular.
A lot of people that have really stuck with us through the years. And I don't remember who told me, but I remember, I don't know, we were pretty road burned at this point and had some really struggling shows. And the band that played before us was like really good. And at least technically they were really good. And I remember saying something, I don't know why I said it, but something from the stage of like, hey, you know, let's give it up for these guys. You know, sorry, we're not like as talented as these guys, but, you know, we're giving it our all, you know. And I think that resonated with some people and they really just felt like, you know, that's exactly what we want from a band. We want from a band exactly what you are doing. It doesn't matter if you could play 1,000 miles per hour, you know, or you have like Yngwie Malmsteen dexterity or whatever, but it's the heart that you give and in your music, you know, and that was really cool. And so that was a very, very pivotal show for us. The next show was back down to Kansas City to a place called the Riot Room. We actually did not go to this show. We were too either broke or road burned to make. I mean, it was like something ridiculous. I think like a, you know, 900 mile round trip or something for one show. And Raven ended up going and having a pretty good show, but they actually said it was like 20 degrees out there and it was a bit miserable. But we did hear from a lot of people showed up to see us. And so much like missing the first show in Pompano Beach on this tour, we really started to learn quickly, like, hey, you know, we really have to just do everything in this band. You know, we have to suck it up and we have to I mean, not make stupid choices, but if we can commit to something and we're booked on something, we're going to go do it, you know? So that was one of those, another thing where we're like, okay, look, like, I guess that's how we kind of got the reputation of being one of the hardest working bands out there. Like, we stopped doing stuff like that. We started just doing everything that we can. We were already very hardworking, but it was like, it was a 98% hardworking band to a 100% hardworking band after that. The following show was in Indianapolis. Yeah, so look, Raven drove from Columbus, Ohio to Kansas City to Indianapolis. You know, I mean, that's pretty brutal. So I'd give them the hardest working band honor, really. So Indianapolis, yeah, I remember that show too. On the itinerary here, it says headquarters, but I remember, I think we played at a club called the Brass Rail. Or is that in Fort Worth? See, I can't remember. All these places are running into each other. But anyway, that show was really snowy, I remember, and very cold outside, and a small club. After that, we went to Akron, Ohio, played the Empire Rock Club, another pivotal show in our Ohio lore. This is where we first met Bill Peters from 88.9 WJCU. He's had the longest-running metal radio show in history, over 40 years, and he was playing our band for about a year before we even came to tour there.
Hello, my name is Bill Peters, and I host a weekly Friday night heavy metal radio show on WJCU 88.7 FM here in Cleveland, Ohio. It's called Metal on Metal. I first got turned on to Night Demon from my friend Iron Ingo Strumberg from Wiesmoor, Germany. And I remember when he first contacted me, you know, he was really excited about it. And he said, I just know you're going to love this band. This has got your name written all over it. Soon as I put it on, right away, I fell in love with it. I was like, oh, my God, he was right. He knows me too well. And I put it right on the radio, started playing it in heavy rotation on the Friday night show. Got great listener response. It really caught on. And that's really where the love affair started between Night Demon and Cleveland. And then as Night Demon came into town and started playing shows here, the first one they played at was in Akron. They opened up for Raven. Then everything really snowballed because once people saw the band live, that just took it to a whole nother level.
And people were singing the words in the audience. You know, we met people like Sandy Krueger, Dave Overkill, Athanar from Midnight, you know, Nostrademon. You know, there were so many people there. Brenda, Jason, there were so many people there from the Cleveland scene. And that was really awesome because there was no proper Cleveland play here. So between Akron, Ohio and Columbus, Ohio, we knew something was going on here for Night Demon in Ohio. And we had a very fortunate time. I would say this was a point of the tour where we were starting to crack a little bit.
Greetings, all you demon heads. My name is Chris Hunter, and I am from Wellington, Ohio, which is roughly 40 minutes southwest of Cleveland. I went to go see Raven's Extermination America Fall Tour in 2014, November 14th to be exact, at the Empire Concert Club in Akron, Ohio. And I had Night Demon was direct support on that tour. And I believe it was their first American tour, first tour, I should say, at all. And I had no idea who these cats were, what they sounded like, never heard them, knew nothing of them. Other than that, they were from California. That's how I first heard about them. I had no clue on who these cats were, even though Bill Peters had been playing them on his Metal on Metal radio show. But I had somehow missed that part, apparently, of the show. My first impression of the band was these guys came out and just kicked ass. I mean, they came out and just were pulling out the old school metal sound from start to finish. You know, Dusty blew me away on his drumming. It was just a powerhouse back behind that kit. It was pretty much just speechless, left there speechless that night, not knowing anything about these guys and who we just seen, but we were all soon to find out.
Meanwhile, you know, our next show is in in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. And so, again, we're having to leave Andrew Bonzal behind. I remember leaving him in, I walked him to some bus station after the Akron show. And, God, there was like, 3 feet of snow piled up on the ground out on the sides of the streets. And he's like, yeah, man, like, I'll figure it out. I'm taking a bus to Chicago. I'll meet you guys there. And the bus wasn't coming for hours and hours. I think it wasn't coming until the next morning, to be honest. I can't remember. But it was just after what he had to deal with already, trying to get into Vancouver, BC. It was just one of those things. At least we knew this time, but it did suck. And the Hard Luck show in Toronto was good. It lived up to its name, the Hard Luck. There was a lot of stairs, and we had to carry all our gear up there. We were one roadie down, but it was a great show. The guys from Cauldron came out, and we had a good time. From then, we went on to Reggie's in Chicago. So we had played Reggie's before at the Ragnarocker Festival. And we're back here with Raven. And Manila Road is on the bill, too. So it's awesome. Raven, Manila Road, Night Demon. Reggie's is the place for heavy metal in Chicago. So it was great to see our scene there. And good to hang out with the Manila Road guys. There was some chick that was dancing on stage during their set and, like, kind of off to the side. I have no idea who she was. She looked a bit cracked out. And we were like, what is going on? I kind of feel like the band got sabotaged. I mean, I know those guys pretty well. And I know they didn't hire a go-go dancer for the show. Anyway, so that takes us up through Chicago. I am going to now reference Andrew Bonzal's Metal Assault blog once again, because there's going to be a lot of stuff here that I know I forgot. And this is going to jog my memory for sure. So part 7 of the blog for this tour is titled Testing Times. Okay. So day 36, November 3rd, panic in the shredder. Following a long drive from Seattle, we arrived at the shredder in Boise in the early evening. And on the way, we received word from Raven that they were still facing issues with their RV and were trying their best to get to Boise. As the support band of the tour, Night Demon were in a difficult position as the risk of making such a long drive to get there and having the show canceled on us due to the headliner's absence was very much imminent. But thankfully that didn't happen, and despite Raven being unable to make it after all, the show went ahead as scheduled, and Night Demon ended up as the eventual headliners. Winning some more new fans in the process, the sound was great, and this was the first venue of the tour with its own fog machine and stage floor lights, which made it easier for Night Demon to put on their full show sonically and visually. This is most certainly one venue Night Demon will want to return to on future tours. Yes, and most certainly that was a venue that we did return to. So the blog goes on. Day 37, November 4th, systematic chaos. After the Boise show, we headed on another long drive straight to Salt Lake City and slept in the van for a few hours en route in bone-chilling temperatures. The most brutal in-van sleeping session of the tour thus far. Getting to Salt Lake City and basking in the blazing sun after a whole week under clouds in the Northwest felt absolutely amazing and instilled positive thoughts immediately. We got to the Lo-Fi Cafe for the show, and upon our arrival, John Gallagher approached me and asked me to handle merch duties for Raven, as their guy had to stay back in Washington to get the RV fixed, and they traveled in a rented minivan with just guitars and drums to play this show. I was expecting this predicament to be a possibility and was mentally prepared, but actually handling merch duties for both bands was quite a challenge. And even though things turned out quite chaotic, I think I scrambled through it successfully. Meanwhile, the Night Demon guys were definitely feeling the effects of playing 13 shows in a row and were slightly burned, which is only natural and human. The most to suffer from it was Jarvis, as his voice had all but disappeared completely by this point. But through a frantic hot water and beverage-laden medication, he was able to pull it off and deliver a good show and play the usual 35-minute set for the Salt Lake City audience, which showed its appreciation for Night Demon and couldn't possibly have been able to guess that Jarvis's voice was hurting all the while he was on the stage. Metal Blade recording artist Visigoth were the local opener for the show and put on quite an impressive display of pristine heavy metal themselves, shining as possibly the best opening band we've seen on this tour. Seeing and hearing them play and observing their local fan following at this venue leaves no one in doubt that they're signing to the Metal Blade label, and they clearly have a bright future ahead. And that stood to be true 10 years later. Day 38, November 5th, the last in line on an insane journey starting in San Bernardino on October 22nd. We had finally reached Denver, Colorado for the last in the run of 15 consecutive shows before a much needed day off on November 6th. The drive to Denver was rewarding as Dustin and I were able to witness a beautiful sunset on one side and a full moon on the other at the same time. The Salt Lake City show left Jarvis's voice more strained than ever before, and he was barely talking at all on the way to Denver, giving more than 100% effort to save it for the show. He was even dreading the prospect of Night Demon playing an all-instrumental show at the Three Kings Tavern, but it didn't come to that, and he toiled through it once again. John Gallagher impulsively walked up on stage to sing along one of the chorus lines of Curse of the Damned, a truly heartwarming moment, which I failed to capture on camera as I wasn't ready for it, unfortunately. I was pulling double duty at the merch table once again as Raven's merch dude was still not with them, but I was much better prepared to handle it on this occasion. The vibe at the venue was welcoming, and there was a decent crowd, most noticeably decorated with a greater percentage of pleasant-looking females than anywhere else on the tour so far. Day 40, November 7th, White Line Fever. The guys were well rested thanks to the day off and geared up for the longest drive of the tour from Denver to St. Louis. Fuel stoppages included, it took us a total of 14 hours, of which Dustin drove a whopping 9 hours nonstop to reach the Foo Bar in St. Louis in the early afternoon on the 7th. We loaded in and set up for the show at 6 p.m. Jarvis was still suffering vocally, wasn't talking in the van, and yet again we faced the possibility of an instrumental Night Demon set. This time he even asked the local opener, October 31st, to switch spots and play after Night Demon, purely because he felt he wasn't physically capable of delivering his 100% at this show and would rather have the local band take over as main support. Even though I was completely able to understand the position he was in, I personally had no doubt in my mind that he would in fact sing the vocals once he got up on stage, because knowing him for the past year and seeing Night Demon so many times in concert, it's clear to me that they leave no stone unturned in giving their best to an audience on any given night. They're in it to win it, and they sure did so here in St. Louis. I was kept extremely busy at the merch table as a new horde of Night Demon converts were lining up to make purchases and subsequently get their CDs, LPs, and posters signed by the band. The most entertaining moment of the set was Jarvis remembering to call out a fan who labeled Night Demon a Diamond Head ripoff on the internet and dedicating the Lightning to the Nations cover to him. Besides Indiana-based band Stone Magnum played just before Night Demon and put on quite a good show laden with the righteous stoner doom metal, judging by its past and upcoming concert listing, the Foo Bar seemed like a properly legit metal venue with plenty of good shows coming through it. Reading, Pennsylvania's promising extreme metal outfit, Rivers of Nile, headlined the venue's other room the same night. It was nice to talk to some other members before the show, and I've realized that running into people you know in a town that neither you nor they call home is one of the unique and most rewarding aspects of heavy metal touring. I can agree with that. Okay, day 42, November 9th, Sunday Healing. Having amassed 6 weeks on this tour already, I feel like I've formed an incredible bond with all three Night Demon guys, and Dustin has started introducing me to people as the fourth member, which is certainly better to hear than the merch guy. I have identified common interests and personality traits with each of them. Like with Brent, it's our affinity towards cola drinks. With Jarvis, it's all things Megadeth and fear of cats. And with Dustin, it's obviously glam rock. By this day, Jarvis was able to fully recover his voice, but in the best interest of the band for the rest of the tour, he decided that he will not be doing any more Joe Hasselvander impressions and will not be singing any more Raven songs in the van, sadly. Aside from the performance time on stage and all that pre-show and post-show activities, Jarvis is all business 24/7. When he's not getting clickbaited into reading articles on sensationalist news sites and not watching Bollywood dance version videos on YouTube, he's always switched on. And as a person who strives to be as productive as humanly possible, it's inspiring to observe. Well, thanks, Andrew. As we crossed the state line into Ohio, I was reminded of the best song about state lines written in recent times by Gypsy Hawk. The show in Columbus was at the Shrunken Head, and being a Sunday evening, it rightly started at 7 p.m. with Indiana bass band Zephaniah scorching up the stage with a great set of prog power metal. Night Demon sounded extremely loud in that tiny bar and in front of an audience that almost solely comprised Raven fans who weren't familiar with Night Demon. They turned some heads, as was evident from the constant crowd at the merch table after the set. The merch area in the venue was set up such that people would have to go through it on their way in and out of the place, which is absolutely ideal, and the food catered to us was top-notch as well. But because the show ended as early as 10:45 p.m., the evening was far from over. After packing the van, we went to a bar called Ace of Cups down the street for some after-hours entertainment at the suggestion of the bartenders at the Shrunken Head. Ace of Cups were having a Sunday night karaoke thing, and the prospect of drunk folks singing bad karaoke seemed promising at first, but the predominantly hipster crowd kept choosing the most depressing songs on earth, which was no fun at all. For us, though, it was worth the hang in the end because Jarvis went up to deliver a quite excellent rendition of Marvin Gaye's Sexual Healing, which blew all the competition out of the water and perfectly capped off a great day for all of us. I do remember that. He says, we now have a few days of downtime before we begin another brutal run of 13 consecutive shows towards the home stretch of this tour. And I'll bring you some of that madness in the next part of this blog.
That's it for this week, Night Demon on his first major tour. We're going to wrap it up next week with more behind-the-scenes stories of the 2014 Extermination Tour. As always, be sure to check out the subscriber section on nightdemon.net, where we'll be adding all kinds of bonus content for subscribers every week from this tour and other tours. We have live audio, live video, show posters, photo galleries, and more. For info on the subscriber section and how to become a subscriber, check out nightdemon.net. Until next time, this is Nesbitt signing off.
Thanks for listening to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. Head over to nightdemon.net, click on the subscriber tab, and sign up to access exclusive weekly bonus content. If you would like to donate to support the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast, you can do so through PayPal at paypal.me/nightdemonmetal. Additionally, if you have not already done so, please subscribe, like, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All hail, Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast listeners. This is Dusty Squires chiming in to tell you about my brand new signature sticks from the London Drumstick Company. I've dreamt of having my very own drumsticks ever since I was a wee lad, and LDC made that a possibility for me. Founded in 2016 in London, England, the birthplace of heavy metal, the London Drumstick Company has trailblazed a path through the music industry and taken the drummer world by storm. When I met them for the first time, they knew their product was going to withstand the beatings of a Night Demon show. They took the time to work with me on getting everything just right. The balance and weight of my sticks are the same no matter what, and the durability is bar none the best I've ever had. I know my sticks will last through the set night after night. I'm truly honored to work with a company that caters to their players the way LDC does. Their innovation and attention to detail is what separates them from the rest of the stick makers out there. Their custom stick sleeves are unbelievable and really make the entire presentation complete. Wait until you see the design they came up with for me. It blew my mind and was a surprise to say the least. They have all kinds of amazing swag, including hoodies, t-shirts, drummer shorts, drum keys, stick bags, towels, face masks, practice pads, and much, much more. Even if you're not a drummer, you can be a part of Demon history and order my brand new signature sticks direct from their website. How cool is that? And to top it off, the London Drumstick Company are giving an exclusive offer to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast listeners. Go to londondrumsticks.co.uk and receive a 15% store-wide discount using promo code DEMONSTICKS. All capital letters, no spaces, DEMONSTICKS. DEMONSTICKS. I can't thank everyone there enough for the opportunity to be a part of their family and for them trusting me with their amazing products. See you metal maniacs on the road very soon. And yes, the wood chips will be flying.
Greetings, boils and ghouls. This is your comrade, the Crypt Keeper here, reporting dead from the Sanctuary of the Strange. Tonight's macabre myth is a fright-filled feature, one overflowing with monsters, madness, and magic.
Visit our website at monstersmadnessandmagic.com to stay up to date on all the dark dealings within the Sanctuary of the Strange. Enjoy the show.
Hey metalheads, I'm Mark and I host the Metal Forge. Let me tell you about the show. The Metal Forge features the best underground metal from all over the world. We spend every week with a different artist with interviews, in-depth conversations, and most of all, the music. We also feature audience interactivity where you can submit your questions to the upcoming guests. New episodes are out every Friday at noon Eastern Time at MetalForgeRadio.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Want to know what's going on in the world of music? Then tune in to the Nothing Shocking Podcast, a non-genre-based, all-ages-friendly rock and roll program. Join us weekly for interviews with all your favorite rock stars from the mainstream to the underground. You can find us at nothingshocking.libsyn.com or anywhere you download podcasts.
Okay, metalheads, you've been complaining that there has not been a channel that plays all of the heavy metal videos from past, present, and future for years and years at this point. Well, that time is over. Heavy Metal Television is back. HeavyMetalTelevision.net is the website. Go there. You can see videos playing 24/7, 365, all the time. All the best from the old school, the new school, and everything in between. Check it out, HeavyMetalTelevision.net. It is where the metal is.